First of all, I thanks for inviting me here and giving me this chance to give a talk. And I'm Junwoo Bae from Korea Institute for Advanced Study. So this is Korean IAS, which was founded 12 years ago in Korea. So this is something similar to IAS in the United States. Of course, it's in Korea. And so like IAS, so each research fellow in Korea, in this kiosk, can have independent research, independent own research. So I was quite lucky to be in this kiosk to have, in my case, I could also have done my national service here. So today I basically talk about the quantum correlations in application and foundations. And basically, when I prepared this talk, I want to put everything, most of my works in this picture. So, in the typical scenario of QKD, there are two honest parties are assembled, and they share a quantum state, and they measure the state on each in each side. Or they can apply some local operation and then measure. And then afterwards, they announce the measurement outcomes, and then they discuss, and they try to distill secret key from the measurement outcomes. So then the first question is that which quantum state here they are useful for key distillation. Okay, and the second part is of course, quantum theory cannot be used. Doesn't allow the superluminal signaling communication. So so even quantum theory, there are some correlations which is stronger than local models, but still the signal is not allowed in quantum theory. So, although Alice and Bob can share some certain strong entangled states, however, they cannot send information faster than light. So this can give some limitations on local operations here and there. So this no signaling principle can be applied to limit certain quantum performance of this local operation on Allison side and Bethoff side. So the second point is the fundamental limitations on the local operations by the no signaling principle. The last, And the last part is, of course, although we don't know which quantum states are useful for key distillation, but for sure, separable states are not useful. So it is important to detect entangled state first. So I like to put everything in this picture, all the works in this picture. However, unfortunately, I found that it's a lot. It's a lot and too much to cover. So therefore, I decided not to explain about this. Okay, I apologize for my mistake here. And basically, in this talk, I will speak about these two issues. The one is the relations among fundamental local theorems. In the second part, I will speak about some conjecture that relates positive maps and entanglement detection. So basically, I give two talks here. In the first part is the relations between among the local theorems. So this work is done by collaborating with Tony Asin from Barcelona, and Won Young Hwang and Yang Do Kan. They are my colleagues in Korea. So probably you may be aware of Won Young Hwang, who is well known for decoy quantum cryptography. So the first part I will miss, which is the quantum and classical correlations. Okay, I will stay here for a week. So after talk, the next following days, if you're interested in it, and please come to me, and we can discuss about it. Okay, so now let me start these no-go theorems. So there are many no-go theorems. There are some number of no-go theorems in quantum theory. And basically, the no-go theorems I'm going to talk about, there are three. So the first one is, of course, the no cloning. So it is not possible to clone unknown quantum state. Of course, if the quantum state is known, if you know the state of the system, then you can clone. You can prepare as many as you want. So the quantum cloning is about unknown quantum state. There's no unitary transformation that allows to copy unknown state to a blank. And non-orthogonal quantum state, they cannot be perfectly discriminated. And also, it is not possible to send information faster than light. So this is this has the origin in the relativity causality. And also, now it's called no signaling principle. So no signaling, no signaling means the following. So probability distribution here, and the marginal here. So there are two choices. The simplest way to look at the no signaling probabilities, so this marginal doesn't affect by the choice of Bob. So this is the probability of Alice and Bob, given that Alice and Bob choose X and Y. And this is the other one, X and Y prime. And but the marginal here, the Alice's side, doesn't affect by both choice of the input. Sorry, sir?
B and B prime?
Yes.
Over the outcomes.
Yeah, actually, you are right. Yeah, I think you mean this way. Sorry, yeah. I don't know why. Okay. This is not possible. So this is basically, so quantum theory, or in quantum theory, the signal is not allowed. Okay, so now, basically, so I would like to explain the connections or the relations among this no signal and no cloning and no perfect state estimation. So of course, I mean, you can see that they are qualitatively related to each other. So if you suppose two parties are example, they share quantum states, and so Alice applies two suppose that Alice applies two measurements, either M1 or M0. So if Alice measures M0, then so both will have some corresponding quantum state here, the other side, and if Alice applies measurement M1. Then Bob will have another quantum state. So if cloning is possible, then Bob can clone the rejecting quantum state as many as he wants, and they will estimate it. Then they will know what the state is. So this immediately applies the signaling communication. So Bob will know the Alice's choice of measurement basis, although Alice doesn't announce the measurement outcomes or measurement choice of her. So if cloning is possible, then signaling is already possible. So no signaling implies no cloning here. And also, if quantum state estimation is perfect, so the same thing happens. So at least apply measurements M0 or M1, and both. If we suppose both can know the rejecting quantum state perfectly, then it's also possible that Alice can send information faster than light to Bob. So no signaling already implies this no perfect state estimation. As well, the no cloning and no state estimation, they are also related to each other. So if you assume that cloning is possible and perfect state estimation is not possible, then you will see the contradiction, and the other way around as well. So these two are also related to each other. So I mean, as you can see, the qualitatively, they are all related to each other. But now what I'd like to show you is that they are also quantitatively related. And in the paper by Nicola Chisan in 1998, he looked at the quantum cloning of 1 to 2, universal quantum cloning of qubit states. And he assumed, of course, quantum mechanics, and he applied the no signaling principle to quantum cloning in a way that better clone will imply certain signaling communication. Then he got the optimal cloning fidelity, which is 5/6. So this is the first line applying this no signaling principle to no cloning, optimal cloning. And there's another result that connects no cloning and no perfect state estimation. Actually, the equivalence between cloning and state estimation. So there are some results along this line. And I think the first one, So okay, let me start from quantum cloning. So quantum cloning means that cloning is never possible, but a given quantum state, let's say m number of copies, and you apply quantum operation, so optimal quantum operation, then you want to copy the state as good as you is possible. So let's say the output state is m here. So given m inputs, you want to produce m clones. Of course, they are imperfect, but you want to maximize the fidelity here. So this is called cloning fidelity. And there's a nice formula for qubit universal cloning, which is given by this number. And I think this was shown by Nicola Cesani and Sergio Mazza in 1997. And later it was shown that this cloning fidelity is actually optimal. And there's an alternative strategy, which is by state estimation. So given quantum state, you don't apply quantum operation, but you measure the quantum state so that you can get the information about the state, what the state is. So you should optimize all the measurements that maximize the information you can get. So this is called the optimized state estimation. So there's optimized state estimation strategy shown in a paper by Sergio Mazza in Santa Fe School. And applying this optimized quantum state estimation, then the fidelity is here. So this is a classical strategy, and this is quantum. And of course, quantum is better than classical, but to fair compare these two cases, one has to consider the asymptotic limit, because here, okay, you measure and you get the information about what the state is, and you can produce as many as you want. So here, the number of clones are infinite. I mean, but here it's finite, so one has to take the asymptotic case in the quantum cloning. So if you take the number of outcomes, a large number, then you will see that these two values are the same. So this was shown by Dagmar Bruce and Arthur Eckert and Chiara Machiavello in 1998. And later it was conjectured that in general, asymptotic quantum cloning converges to a state estimation. So the general, the answer is yes. So for all cases, for all quantum cloning in the asymptotic limit, it converges to a state estimation. So this was shown by Tony Yassin and myself in 2006. So Bruce et al., or this one,
yeah,
is what they consider qubit cloning and universal. Yeah. So in general, so there are many different cases of quantum cloning. For example, you can restrict your input states. So this is called state-dependent cloning and so on. So in general, I mean, it's proven here. Okay, but I'm not going to details, but now I like to go to details from noise signaling and state estimation. I think okay, so for qubit cases, I mean, recently we have looked at the problem, and fortunately we could solve the problem. So we impose the noise signaling principle to quantum state estimation in a way that quantum state estimation cannot be better. So if it is better than the optimal quantum state estimation, then it will imply the signaling communication. So we got that this line is actually tight for qubit state estimation case. And now, okay, so a little bit particular case of, of course, I don't know the general solution. So in general, I try given quantum states and connect between state estimation and no cloning. Well, I don't know the answer yet. But I know, I consider a little bit simpler problem, which is state discrimination, which is particular case of quantum state estimation. So I think the first line here, the relation between noise signaling and quantum state discrimination. I think the first one was shown, was considered in this case, Wen Yang Huang. And then later, so this paper, I mean, he looked at pure qubits, so qubit state and pure state case.
Pure state is really quantum. Then, after looking at this paper, I also consider qubit cases, and now mixed state, so mixed state discrimination. So mixed is somehow some classical noise in quantum states. Therefore, I expected that there could be some gap between optimal quantum state estimation and optimal quantum state discrimination
and state of discrimination constrained by the signaling principle. But actually, it is tight. So I was very surprised. And then we went to more generalization. And well, in this paper, we went to more generalization. And we couldn't find a gap between these two cases. So I was, why? And then I asked, so I was very obsessed with this problem. And finally, I mean, the recent work of mine and the colleagues, and we could prove that actually the signaling principle determine the minimum error in quantum state discrimination. So I will show the lines here. So, so of course, I mean, quantum, I mean, mixed states can have different decomposition. For example, this complete mixed state here can be written in different decomposition. And this can also be seen in a communication scenario. So suppose Alice and Bob share some quantum state, and they, if they measure that, if they choose this observable, then they will have this probability distribution. And suppose Alice have two complete measurements, here sigma z and sigma x, so measuring in z basis and measuring in x basis. Of course, these are complete measurements, so the resulting quantum state on both. So okay, suppose Alice apply this measurement, that both, okay, let me show this. So suppose Alice applies 0 and 1 basis in measurement, then both states will be this mixture. I mean, of course, Alice doesn't announce the measurement outcome. Then Bob doesn't know which state he has, and therefore it's a complete mixture of these two cases. And then the other case is that Alice applies this the other complete measurement in x basis. It's the same. So Bob cannot discriminate these two cases. Okay, so but in general, if Alice and Bob share this certain quantum state, and Alice can choose different two complete measurement, complete POBMs, or they are complete means that the sum of these two, sum of POBM elements is identity. So the Alice can choose either of them, so complete measurement here, and by this, okay. Suppose these measurements will prepare this ensemble decomposition on both sides, and this measurement will determine the decomposition on both sides like this. And of course, they are identical because this is a complete measurement. But Bob never know which complete measurement Alice has applied. Okay? This is what the no signaling principle implies. So now I'd like to apply the no signaling principle to quantum state discrimination among those quantum states in the ensemble. So I want to discriminate this low one and low two. Okay. So both strategies the following. So Bob will measure his state, and Bob now. Try to discriminate between low one and low two. So measurement basis is optimized to discriminate low one and low two, and they appear with the probability one p one and p two. Okay. So suppose now this is possible. So when low one appears, the measurement setting will answer low one, and this low one appears with probability one p one, and the other cases as well. And if these two, some of them is larger than one, this means that either of them is larger than one half. So what does that mean? So so if this is larger than one half, then the measurement setting of Bob will answer either suppose this j is one, okay? So in the case of j equal one, this is larger than one half. That means the probability that this ensemble is detected on the Bob's side is larger than one half. So therefore, Bob will discriminate which ensemble he has. Of course, they are identical, so it's not possible. But so the measurement device is somehow related to Alice's one, strong way. So the measurement setup will tell. Which the choice of Alice's POBM. So therefore, this will violate the no signaling principle. So, So this, okay, right, because of this, Alice and Bob can perform a certain superluminal communication scenario. So therefore, by the no-signal principle, this is not allowed. So therefore, we have this one. And as you can see, this low one and low two, they appear with the probability P1 plus P2, and low one appears P1 over P1 plus P2. So this actually defines the probability Q1 and Q2. They are a priori probabilities that low one appears and low two appears. Okay. So the guessing probability here, I mean success probability, is written as this, and I just combining all of them, then I get the bound here. Is it clear or anything strange? Okay. Okay, so I have another constraint, which is, I mean, the two Ansangs are identical. Then I put together like this, and I get the bound to P1 and P2, and here. Well, this is just technical lines. So this is the bound I get from those signal constraints. And let me now introduce the solution in quantum cases. There's Hellstrom bound, which determines the guessing probability or minimum error in two-state discrimination in general. So this was analyzed by Hellstrom in the 70s. So he, the problem is given two quantum sets, arbitrary quantum sets, low one and low two, and they appear with a priori probabilities Q1 and Q2, and he optimized all measurement bases such that the guessing probability is maximized. And this is the bound he gets, the optimal solution he gets. So this is the guessing probability in optimal quantum discrimination. Well, as you can see, this is coincides to the one I got from the signal principle, so they coincide. And I didn't understand why they coincide, and I looked at I didn't know why they coincide, so I generalized this bound to many quantum states. So many quantum states with arbitrary priori probabilities, so this is the full general cases. So I follow the same line, so equal ensembles here, and apply the no-signal principle, I get the bound, and this is the bound I get, okay? And, okay, then there are three questions I'd like to address. The first one is, so when is the case of this equality holds? So I apply the no-signal principle, and I get the bound. So when is the case equality holds? So I mean, just some technical lines. I mean, is equality holds if and only if the measurement basis, measurement operate the P of EM, it is orthogonal to sigma j, and sigma j is in the ensemble such that these ensembles are all identical. Okay. But it should be orthogonal to measurement just P of EM. So then this equality holds. Then the first one is existence of this this sigma, and the second, it should compose the equal ensembles. The final one is once the equality holds, there's a bound. And is this really the optimal solution in quantum state discrimination? So this is the three questions I'd like to address. Okay. Well, the answer is actually yes. And the way I show this is looking at semi-definite programming. Okay, so semi-definite programming is or can be applied for any optimization problems in quantum, optimization problems. So normally the function is given by the linear functional, subject to certain convex constraints here. So this is called the Riemann problem, and one can also introduce a dual problem, but you can call either Riemann or dual or Riemann. Okay, so this so let me formulate the quantum discrimination problem in semi-definite programming. So this is the guessing probability, and I like to maximize this quantity over all P of EMs here. Then P of EM, they must be positive operator such that they are complete. Okay. And you can also find the Lagrangian over this, and from this Lagrangian, you can find this dual problem. And you can get the optimal solution solving by either Riemann problem or dual problems. And there's a strong duality, so which is very nice. And that tells that if these two constraints here, primal constraints and the dual constraints, they are feasible, meaning that the parameters, or dual parameters, or the primal parameters satisfy these two constraints, if they are not empty, then you can get the optimal solution solving by either primal or dual. Okay, so you get the solution. And in this case of quantum state discrimination, there's a trivial solution, which is identity. So both are feasible. So you will have the solution. So there exists a solution. Okay, and there's another approach, which is called complementary problem, which is solving Lagrangian directly. So you will find all the parameters that satisfy this Lagrangian, and that will be the solution of this one and this one. Okay, but often this Lagrangian forms are nonlinear, so it doesn't consider to be easier than solving this one or this one. Okay, but there's a very nice optimality condition, which is called Karishi, Kuhn, and Tucker, which is KKD conditions. So you can actually solving these KKD conditions, then you will get the optimal solution. Of course, in this case, the optimal solution, okay, in this case, existence of optimal solution is known. So there will be K and sigma j and sigma j and mj that satisfy these inequality, these relations, okay? Or they are different. Okay. Well, sorry for Korean. Well, in terms of the complexity, there's no difference. But sometimes dual is easier to solve and prima is easier to solve. But well, it's just a matter of formulation, as far as I know. Yeah, so this KKD condition. So the first one is K should satisfy this one for all J, and the other is orthogonality between prima parameter and dual parameter. Is it a prima parameter and sigma J? And sigma j, you can find the sigma j in here, okay? And the other is the constraint in prima and dual problems. Well, of course, there are mj and sigma j that satisfy all these, and they are also optimal solutions, okay? But what I can learn from these KKD conditions, actually, this one implies the identical ensemble. Well, of course, this unnormalized quantum state, you can normalize, of course, but this operator, a positive Hermitian operator. So this can be seen as identical ensembles. The second line is the orthogonality between prima and dual parameters. They are exactly what I meant before, three constraints here, equal ensembles, and orthogonal relations between QBN and positive operator, that is in the ensemble. So the last point, well, I mean, now I like to solve this dual problem, okay? The dual problems here is the solution is minimum of trace K. Well, as you can see, the K is given here, and I normalize it. So I like, so I write the K operator, normalize quantum state in this way. Then, compared to this ensemble to here, P1 is the probability in front of low I. So this is the PI, then I just reparameterize these quantities, and then I get this trace K is actually this one. So therefore this is shown. Okay. So optimal quantum state discrimination can be determined by this no signal principle.
Place some parts of quantum mechanics like linearity with no signaling condition. Is this the idea? Because if you use the whole structure of quantum mechanics, you definitely can derive that bound.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for asking. So that's good point. So, the aim of mine was just really. Look, I mean, if really Bosnian principle can determine the optimal quantum state estimation or not, okay, this is the initial aim. But in the end, what I found is that the sharing, assuming quantum data shared between two parties, and Alice now applies as a measurement. So I suppose the bond on Alice's side, and I look at the probability distribution on both sides. But here I didn't apply the bond rule. Okay. So this is somehow the collision theorem on the local side. Okay. So assuming by finite quantum state and no signaling, and collision theorem on both sides, this implies the collision theorem on both sides. Okay. So this is what I'm saying. So, okay, I didn't assume the bond rule. Okay, I assume the measurement postulate on Alice's side, but didn't assume the measurement postulate on both sides. But I found that this actually coincides to bond rules. Okay. Of course I can explain later. Okay. Yes. No. Yeah.
But even using that provocative, you are kind of using part of the linearity. I mean, besides the simple measurement.
Yeah, I think I applied the linearity, yes. Yeah. So I assume the linearity and complete measurement on Alice's side.
So this part of the linearity is not used?
Both sides. Well, that I don't know. Using those signaling principle, I didn't show you how to get the minimum error in an easier way than semi-definite programming. Actually, I showed that they are equivalent. But the message here is that assuming the no signaling principle, you can get the minimum error or success probability in optimal quantum discrimination. So therefore, and also I'd like to highlight the methodology here. So no signaling principle which is the physical principle, it corresponds to the KKT condition, which is the optimality condition in mathematics problem. Okay. And KKT condition is actually the most optimality condition of the Lagrangian. So you extremize the Lagrangian, and you get the KKT condition. So this reminds me some classical problems as well. So given dynamics problems, you construct the Lagrangian, and you extremize the Lagrangian, then you get the equation of motion, which is the behavior of nature. And from this, you can find the physical principle, which is principle of least action. So actually, principle of least action characterize the equation of motion. And here, I construct the Lagrangian and I extremize it and I get the optimality condition. And that exactly corresponds to the no signaling principle. So this is somehow the analogy I found interesting. So far, the relations here, I think this is complete and this is complete as well. But here is some partial research. So there's also so looking at this line is also interesting. Okay, so now I'm moving to the next part, and before this, is there any comments or questions? Yes. Yeah. That's something I'm expecting, in the quantitative sense.
Do you think there are also arrows?
No, that I don't know. Yeah.
You don't know whether there are.
No, yeah. But I got this line.
Okay.
Yeah. But the other way, I don't know. But there is a recent paper by two independent paper. One from you, of course. Vittoria, seen at Martin Levenstein and people in Barcelona. So which is assuming bipartite quantum state between Alice and Bohr, and you assume also local quantum mechanics, and you impose no signaling principle, then there is correlations between Alice and Bohr. Then for each correlations, you can find P of EM, local P of EM, and corresponding bipartite quantum state. So somehow, bipartite quantum state can attain all non signaling principles that Alice and Bob can have. So this is the visual. Also, there's a paper, or a similar paper by Howard Banyum et al. With Stephanie Renner also. So this is somehow the converse. So I assume bipartite quantum state, and I assume the local quantum mechanics on only Alice's side, and assuming no signaling principle. Okay? Then I got local quantum mechanics on both sides. So this is somehow the converse direction, I think. Okay, the next part is I'd like to talk about the conjecture between positive maps positive maps and Enkhamer detection. So the conjecture is that approximations to any optimal positive maps will be Enkhamer breaking. But let me be precise later. And this work is done by collaborating with mainly people in Barcelona. And also some experimental group in Korea. Okay, so let me start. Okay, basically I'd like to explain about the theoretical part, which I developed with the people in Barcelona. And the other part is, I will just show you some results in experiment. Okay, so again, so cloning and state. Cloning and universal knot operation. So this is two examples I'd like to show you. The first one is, okay, let's look at the cloning. The cloning can be seen as, this is 1-to-2 cloning. So given quantum state, you prepare the blank, and you don't know the quantum state given. However, the blank state is fixed to a certain direction, and you want to transform this direction as close to as this block vector of unknown quantum state. And in the end, you will find the clones here. So this is basically what quantum cloning means. So you optimize all quantum operation, then you will get the cloning fidelity is a 5/6. And there's another cloning, which is trivial cloning. So measuring quantum state, apply the optimal measurement, you get information as much as you get, and you prepare. So this is a 2/3, okay? So here you can see the quantum is better than measurement and preparation strategy. And there's another interesting impossible quantum operation, which is universal knot operation. So this is different from quantum cloning in the following sense. So given a known quantum state, now you don't clone, but now you are asked to transform given block vector to the opposite direction. Okay? This is also not possible. However, something interesting in this case is that you will get the same fidelity. So there's no advantage in quantum operation. And Reinhard Werner and Vladimir Buzek and Mark Hillary, and they looked at, okay, I put many ancillas here, and then what is the fidelity here? Still the same. So there's no advantage. And I try to understand why. So quantum cloning is not possible because quantum mechanics is linear and unitary. And this universal knot operation is not possible because quantum operation is completely positive. Okay? This universal knot operation is actually the composition of sigma y, which is Pauli matrix, and transpose. And transpose is not allowed in quantum mechanics. So therefore, we need completely positive. Okay. If quantum mechanics is not... Okay, if... just positive maps are allowed in quantum mechanics, then there's no reason, there's no reason that this is not possible. So we need two conditions for quantum operations. One is the positivity, and the other complete positivity. And, if there's no entangled state in the universe or in quantum mechanics, then there's no, and I don't know why we ask this complete positivity. Okay, so, if we have only separable states, then we don't have to ask this second condition because positivity will imply complete positivity for all separable states. Well, in the other way around, for all entangled states, there is positive map, but not complete positive map that detects entangled states. But this is the well-known theorem by Horvatsky brothers. And Well, so there's another thing, which is entanglement breaking operation. This is also needed to explain the conjecture. So entanglement breaking means that, so given, okay, suppose that quantum state in bipartite quantum state, and you apply this, this local operation, basically lambda to A, so then always the resulting quantum state is separable. So whenever you, so whatever quantum state you input, the output state is separable. So then I go, then this operation is called entanglement breaking operation, or this channel is called entanglement breaking channel. And in the paper by Kordesky and Shaw and Ruskai, it was shown that always this entanglement breaking channel can be written in the following form, which is measurement and preparation. So given quantum state, you apply measurement, and according to the measurement outcome, you prepare another state. Any entanglement breaking channels operation can be replaced by measurement and state preparation. Okay. And also, I mean, this entanglement breaking operation can be understood as somehow isolating your system. So this is your system and environment, and you apply this operation to your system. Then after this, your system have no correlations with environment. So somehow you restrict your system into, I mean, your local position. Okay, then coming to this point, why we have this equality here. Okay, I mean, why this condition, complete positivity, implies this? I mean, still I don't know the answer, but somehow the way I can, the way that I try to understand is that it's the following. So if there's no entangled state in the universe, or we only have separate states, transpose is possible, or universal knot is also possible. So the optimal operation must be first break the correlations that your system share with the environment, and then you apply the transpose. So therefore, measurements and apply apply the operation you want, that might be the optimal. But actually, this corresponds to this measurement and measurement and preparation strategy. So therefore, so this is somehow why this equality holds in this case. Okay, basically, or otherwise, I can come.
What happens is that for any positive mass, if you combine it with an entanglement breaking channel, it becomes completely positive. If you compose a positive mass with an entanglement breaking,
mm-hmm. That's entanglement breaking.
That's still entanglement breaking, and also completely positive.
Yes.
It's definitely feasible then in quantum mechanics, but then as an experiment, I don't see that.
Okay.
Your reasoning, but yeah. Okay.
Well, I try to explain why this quantum strategy corresponds to equal to this measurement strategy. So, should be measurement there in optimal quantum operation, because first break the correlations that your system share with the environment. So you isolate your system. So this is not encountered with anybody, and now you apply any positive mass. But then this doesn't matter. Then this is completely positive, as you see.
Excuse me. So is this equality holds just for fidelity measure, or
if you have fidelity measure, yes.
I just want to make sure it's not an accident for fidelity. I mean, if you use another,
I think so. Yeah. If I look at another figure of merit, then yeah. Well, the method here measurement will attain the maximum quantum fidelity. So of course, this is somehow the intuition behind, and I like to generalize this idea to other cases. So let me be precise the conjecture. So to do that, I need to characterize those positive marks that really characterize the set of separable states. Okay, so this corresponds to the optimal entanglement weaknesses. So entanglement weaknesses, they characterize the border between entanglement separable and separable and entangled states. And from the weakness, you can find the positive but not completely positive marks. So if the weakness is optimal, then we call the positive mark is optimal. Okay. and collecting all those optimal positive mass, and the conjecture is that, well, this is okay. So approximation, for any physical approximation, which is a CP map, so mapping from, okay, any physical approximation to this positive map, or optimal positive mass, will correspond to the Hamilton breakthrough. This is the statement of the conjecture. But actually, we don't know how to, we don't know the general approximation to this positive map, so there's no physical approximation, which is called the structure physical approximation. It's shown by Horodesky and Eckhart in 2002. And this is structural physical approximation, in short, they are called SPA, is called the following. So given positive map, okay, it's not complete positive, and I add this depolarization, which is actually, well, white noise, such that the resulting map is completely positive. And here, of course, I assume that this noise, the amount of noise must be minimal. Okay? Then this is called SPA. So given positive map and white noise, such that you get the CP map. And yeah, to check whether this is CP or not, you just apply the maximal entangled state to this, and you will get the positive condition. Yeah, so this is the conjecture. And so why why this is interesting? Because as I said before, there's very long theorem between entangled state and separable entangled states and positive mass. So given positive mass, there is entangled state that this positive mass presents that is entangled state, and the other way around as well. So this is if and only condition. And well, it's always entanglement is useful. Can I skip this part? And this, I just want to show that entanglement is useful in many sense. And experiments, therefore, detecting entanglement is more important to know what the state is. So before knowing the state, which is quantum state in homology, it's more important to know what the state, to know whether the state, given state is entangled or separable. This is called the direct detection of entanglement. So the scheme shown by scheme in this paper by Horodesky and Eckhart is the following. So given positive map, let's say transpose or partial transpose, and you apply the SPA to this partial transpose in this way. And this is now CP, of course. So here P is, the optimal P is given by this, this, and here D is the dimension of the given quantum, given quantum systems. So you apply, so given many properties of unknown quantum state, you apply the SPA. So the resulting quantum state, you apply the optimal spectrum estimation to know the minimum eigenvalue of the resulting state. So if the minimum eigenvalue is smaller than the amount of noise, that means the state must be entangled, because then this part will be negative part. Okay, this is some the scheme shown in Horodesky and Eckhart. And here, okay, optimal state or optimal spectrum estimation involves some collective measurement. So that means you have to store quantum state for a while in quantum level. So you need quantum memory. So this is something unfeasible with quantum technology. Okay. So therefore, so this is why the positive maps are interesting. And okay, just I like to check. I like then. Well, now coming back to conjecture, I like to test whether the conjecture is correct or not. So there are a number of positive maps. That is the way that one can check the conjecture with a given positive map. But I skip here. So we looked at transpose, of course, and partial transpose, and we also looked at the partial transpose. And yeah, well, transpose and partial transpose, and we found that they all satisfy the conjecture. Therefore, structure physical SPA to transpose and partial transpose, they are all entangled breakthrough. So that means, what does that mean? So this is now entangled breakthrough. Okay? Meaning that this is just measurement and state preparation. Then we don't actually need to apply collective measurement on this optimal state estimation or optimal spectrum estimation. So what we do now is just measurement, which is the which corresponds to SPAR, to partial transpose. And now the optimal spectrum estimation is simply a classical processing with the measurement outcomes. And yes, so I could convince the experimental list in Korea, and I talked with them, and then well, they first implemented this. Okay, so this is transpose and SPAR to transpose, and so yeah, so given quantum state, we apply the SPAR to transpose, and then we get. Well, this shows quite high fidelity between experiment and theory, and this structural feature SPAR to transpose is actually the following. So given quantum state and apply the measurement, and according to the measurement outcome, you prepare a certain state. Okay, this is the channel, and we implement it in this way, and we get the very high fidelity in the implementation. And of course, then we went to partial transpose, of course, and this is more useful and more practical in entanglement detection. So in the paper by Alves and also there are Arthur Eckert and also Liang Chuan Quek, and so in this paper it was shown that any SPAR to positive mass that can be factorized into local operations in like this, okay. So now this operation can be implemented by local operation and classical communication. So this by LOCC. So given quantum state, you apply this local operation with some probability, and you communicate each other, and you can perform the partial transpose or approximate partial transpose for these two states. So let's say psi plus and psi minus. So given quantum state, psi plus, and you apply partial transpose here and here as well. And also they show high fidelity in both cases. And we also applied this one for entanglement detection in experiments. Yes, so we compare quantum state tomography and direct detection using this spectrum estimation, and we could see very good agreement between SPAR strategy and quantum state tomography, and so on. So this is something. This is something that I can apply this SPAR idea into practical entanglement detection. Okay, so we looked at more complicated cases of quantum or cases of positive maps. For example, this choice map, which is indecomposable, and therefore this can detect bound PPT entangled states. So those entangled states having positive. Or those entangled states which are positive after partial transpose. So this can detect bound entangled state. When you apply the conjecture and we satisfy the conjecture as well, this Heinz-Boyer-Hall map also satisfy the conjecture for all even dimension, because this map is defined for even dimension. And there's another case, so which is called UPB map. So there's an unextendable product basis. They are actually VI. So they construct certain bound entangled states. So from bound entangled state, using the Cho-Yamiakovsky isomorphism, I can derive the indecomposable map that detects bound entangled states. And that turns out to be also optimal. So applying this SPAR idea, then I get, this map also satisfies the conjecture. So they all satisfy. So I couldn't find, So I couldn't find any counterexample yet. And yeah, for me, it's really convincing now. Yeah, so this is another implication of the conjecture in the geometry of Hermitian operators. So let's say this is the set of quantum state, okay, so positive and Hermitian operator, and Witten is operator that lives in the other side. So they are Hermitian but non-positive operator. So the conjecture implies that given optimal entanglement Wittenesses, you automix this entanglement Wittenesses to white noise, and you will end up at separable state, not entangled state. I mean, if the conjecture is true. So this is another picture, I mean, another implication of the conjecture on the space of Hermitian operators. Okay, so so these are all I have. So I'm sorry for missing the first part, but we can discuss and I can explain in the following days. I mean, as long as you are interested in. And yeah, I explained the two parts. One is the relations among fundamental local theorems, and also from simple observation here, I applied the observation to practical side of entanglement detection. Okay, thank you very much for attention.
This nice thing that you can apply essentially the test with a positive map by actually kind of simulating the map with a completely positive map by adding the noise, right? So you know what is the contribution of the noise. So and here the linear conjecture is relevant because, well, you would to be able just to proceed to measurement, you need to still to apply only the minimum amount of noise. Right, so here, if your conjecture is true, then you can the best physical approximation is an entanglement breaking method, so you can apply it. You can perform it by a measure.
Yes.
You don't need the memory and all that.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
So now, well, in any case, you can always add enough noise to be entanglement break.
That is true, yes.
Yeah. So do you know how much you lose in sensitivity or whatever would be the right word there. So it would be always possible to apply whatever map if I have enough noise. Of course, we don't know, well, we know something, but not a lot about the set of separable states, especially it's difficult to decide when it's separable, so when you have reached the entanglement breaking maps. Have you found, I don't know, a value of the noise such that, well, we can always use that amount of noise for whatever map. I imagine, like, if you consider the separable ball inside a set of states, that gives you a bound of
So even given positive map, if it is not optimal, yeah, then you can add some white noise such that it's completely positive.
Yes.
Then your resulting CP map may not be entirely faithful.
Well,
and I know the kind of count example also.
Oh, but it will be if I keep adding noise, right? At a certain point, it enters the separability ball.
Yeah, then it will be just.
If you have enough noise, it will always be entangled break.
It can be, yeah.
So, and then what I wonder is, well, of course, this is an interesting conjecture. Is I have not understood whether you have also an advantage in terms of the effort that it takes to detect the entanglement, given that you have only to estimate the spectrum of the state rather than check every state tomography, right? So I was thinking whether adding enough noise so adding too much noise is so detrimental that it becomes useless as a scheme. And so you should really find your conjecture and add only the minimum amount of noise. So have you checked how much noise you need to?
No. But I agree with that this is practical.
I have another question that is kind of related to this. So your idea is that this structural approximation give entanglement breaking maps when you do this thing. But how much is known about the optimality of these approximations? Because this looks like a recipe to construct a map.
Yes.
But not necessarily the optimal one to
approximate. That's a good point. So it depends on what you mean by optimal. Mm-hmm. So here, in the previous case of the non-universal knot operation and quantum cloning, there's a fixed degree of merit, which is fidelity.
Sure.
But here, so partial transpose, your resulting quantum resulting state is non-positive. Okay, then I don't know how to define the fidelity between non-positive operator and the other positive operator.
And you can take the average on pure states.
So according to given figure of merit, you can define the optimal, you can check whether it's optimal or not. But here the optimality means, basically the minimum amount of noise. That is the, but of course, so there could be, this matter of the figure of merit.
I doubt that these structural approximations are the best physical approximations in general. Because this identity, this completely depolarizing part, is kind of a signature of a symmetry, of a very strong symmetry that your desired map has. And not every map has this symmetry, phase covariant cloning or something like a partial transpose only for phase states.
But it is okay. I should be clear. This part is not by my advance for the process DNA.
I was wondering if you know some other result about the optimality of these maps for other.
No,
other
I don't know. But later we can discuss, of course. But if I remember correctly, if you apply some other operator rather than this identity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you get you can decrease the amount of noise. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, this is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you tried numerical testing of your conjecture?
No, I didn't apply
some small dimension or some.
So far I know for all decomposable map it is works out. Okay. For all optimal decomposable map it works out. And there are also known optimal indecomposable map and this conjecture it holds true. But we don't know all indecomposable positive map, so we cannot check it.
To prove it, numerical evidences are insufficient. But
we didn't try.
Okay, that's okay.